Very good morning to Mr. Chris Justham, Relationship Manager for Seven Investment Management. Chris, morning. International debut. As always, we have the first question we ask people, what's your football team, what's your cricket team, what's your rugby team? I know that you support West Ham loosely, but yeah, your fascination is rugby.
It is. West Ham loosely, because my dad, I think you do what you're told as a kid. Because
you do.
You get a slap. My great-uncle played for Fulham as well. So,
did he really?
Yeah, he did, yeah. In the 1960s, I think. So my granddad likes to think I support them, but sadly not. If he's watching this, apologies.
You're clearly a good relationship manager.
Yeah, well, that's what I do on a day-to-day basis. I advise clients on what they're doing with their money. To make sure it's suitable for their circumstances, their objectives, and obviously make sure that we don't lose the stuff.
Understood. Well, we've got some of your colleagues who have come on the show regularly, so hopefully you'll come back and join us if this isn't too stressful. Right, talking of stress, you've chosen a subject today that I wouldn't have chosen if I was going on Mastermind, China.
Yeah.
And basically the headlines here, what's happened of late, themes going forwards, the middle class, increase in discretionary expenditure and its effects, the long-term case, bubble or long-term growth.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on PLC?
It's the most open question in the world, isn't it? I mean, if you...
Have you ever been there?
I haven't, no.
No, nor have I.
I haven't. I'd quite like to. Although, as I understand, I mean, I went to Russia recently and that was enough of a step change for me in terms of, you know, referencing, if you want to go out and buy anything, everything's in Cyrillic. It's something you don't understand. If you want to go and buy something in China, it'd be exactly the same. So probably one for later on in the future. But I mean, China, really interesting one. I mean, obviously we've seen year to date, it's had a fantastic run until about a month or so ago. More than any market, China is driven by these domestic retail investors. And what we've seen recently is this circular investing. So what these guys have been doing is they've been borrowing against their existing portfolio, so borrowing on the margin, and then reinvesting back in through their brokerage accounts into the same companies. So borrowing on the margin is you're borrowing against the collateral of your existing portfolio.
So you're basically... You're taking additional exposure based on your P&L, i.e. a profit, on your existing position.
Yep.
So you're just basically dominoing up.
Exactly right. So imagine you've got £100,000 invested, you take £50,000 of that and you reinvest it. So you've got leverage, you're gearing yourself up, much like an investment trust would. And when you're borrowing, let's just say you're invested in Company X in China, they are investing into A shares, you know, Shanghai composite shares, and you're investing in Company X and you reinvest into Company X, and as you said, dominoes up and dominoes up.
Why do they need to like supercharge the risk on that? I mean, what's the thinking there? Is it like it sounds like a suicide mission.
Well, it's a good question, but they're not looking at and they're not interested in. Let's not forget, if you go back to 2005, 2006, they only just peeled back then the restrictions that enable people to invest, let alone people looking abroad. It's quite an inward-looking country, we can't forget.
But they're so hungry to invest, and they're so keen that they're going mad in terms of investing in stocks.
Yeah, it's not so much going mad. There's still only 6% of the population who are actively investing on a day-to-day basis. But obviously that has driven valuations up. So this circular investing that we mentioned, I mean, it's one-tenth of the free float money.
But you just said investing there. Yeah. Is it investing or is it trading or is it gambling?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, they've got a penchant for gambling, obviously, in the Far East. So obviously that and momentum investing as they do. I mean, you can pick a word. It all depends on how subjective you are. But
well, if they make money, they're investing. If they lose money, they're gambling, I suppose. That's what it, you know.
And they've taken profits in the last month or so. So what we've seen, obviously, is people draw down on their profits. They'd be very happy with a 30% return, thank you very much. Done 60% until, give or take, to the beginning of June. And now we're sitting at about 32. So people obviously have been gradually drawing down on what they've made, and you can't really blame them for it.
So this is take profits?
Very much take profits, as well as some IPO activities. So obviously that's diverted some attention. But them taking those profits obviously therefore has an impact on the market. But what's most interesting, I think, about China is the fact that you've got a government where government policy very much underpins what's going on in the stock market. So we saw last week it dropped by 7%. They cut interest rates very, very quickly. That didn't have the desired effect. And this morning we've seen a small spike. It's about 8 or 9% up when I left the office. And that's because policymakers have said, well, the Chinese state pension fund, $97 billion big, can possibly now be permitted to invest into the stock market. I mean, $97 billion. Mario Draghi is only injecting $80 billion a month into the European Union.
I wouldn't mind being the broker for that.
Exactly right.
So we had a very senior fund manager in here a little while ago, and you said you should definitely have some of your asset allocation to China. Now, you know, I'm a simple man. I think, you know, the Chinese market's down was it 22% in 18 business days? Okay, this feels like the Bunds contract. Okay, meant to be a safe haven status. Would you actually put your hard-earned cash in there, or is it just too volatile?
It's a good question. I mean, you're looking at the A shares and the H shares. The H shares are less volatile because it's not just retail investors. You've got some institutions in there, and also don't forget with the A shares, you have got the true domestic companies. You're getting exposure to China properly. It's a bit like with the FTSE 100 in the UK. So you buy the FTSE 100, are you buying the FTSE, or are you buying 70% of whatever else is going on in the world? Very, very similar. So from an H-share perspective, less volatile, the PE is a lot lower as well. It's because you've got these huge behemoth banks and you've got a number of large car manufacturers, whereas in A-shares proper, you have a number of other China-specific companies. You are getting true exposure to the economy. Now, is it too volatile to invest into? As with everything, it's not a case of, and you brought up the point of investing or trading or gambling, it's not a case of I'll nip in there and I'll nip out. That's incredibly hard to call. Mm. And if you had tried to take that trade, I don't know many people would have called the peak back in June. Very, very difficult to do. We see that across the board. Oil's another example. So as part of a diversified portfolio.
Isn't this the point? That you know, it is very volatile. It's very difficult to call. Then you get in the experts like your people and let them do the heavy lifting and the hard work.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. So we have got some exposure. We've just sold out some of our A shares and we're holding onto our H shares. We're considering whether or not to go back into the A shares in the future. But at the moment, as it is just retail market driven and it's incredibly volatile, these individuals as well, they follow what the government tells them. It's Democratic Socialist Republic, let's not forget. And it's only from the 1970s onwards that really there's been significant change within the country. So if the government says this is happening, people tend to believe them. I mean, the Facebook out there, the equivalent of Facebook, it's called Weibo or Weibo. And policymakers have listed specifically on Facebook, we see this as people taking profits, don't panic. Now, can you imagine David Cameron going onto Facebook and going, guys, don't worry about
it. Have 25 of these.
Dropped 2% yesterday, don't worry about it. And us going, oh, thank goodness for that, no worries. It just doesn't happen. But with the, sorry, go on.
Go on.
So I was going to say, so with these policymakers genuinely underpinning, that's two things that have happened in 10 days. Again, can you see the Monetary Policy Committee nipping in and increasing interest rates, or rather cutting interest rates, not they could go much lower, as a result of market falls in such a short time period?
They've done nothing for 6 years. I mean, they're not going to do it. You know, I mean, they just don't behave like that at all.
And yet, look how fluid the Chinese are able to be.
To wrap up, I've got to ask you one question, okay? We understand a technical analysis, dear old Zach, okay? And we understand that, you know, we get a prospectus about a company, we understand the PE ratios. But I'm always interested in GDP, you know, the non-farm payroll numbers and the likes. Everyone comes in here and go, Moose, okay, those numbers are what they appear. Yep. So how do you work out what are good numbers, in inverted commas, and what perhaps aren't quite such good numbers?
And that's always the question with China, because you can't necessarily rely on the data that comes out of it. And they produce it incredibly quickly. So you've really, it's boots on ground a lot of the time, and good analysts who are able to understand what's going on. And a really good example of that is the burgeoning middle class and the fact that people now are earning more money, discretionary money. They're moving from the rural areas into urbanisations. They're building towns left, right and centre. They've got more square footage than they know what to do with. And these people, as they go into these jobs that are earning slightly more money, they're able to go out and buy the mobile phones. They're able to go out and buy the cars. They're able to go out and buy the holidays. And then the next logical step is, what do I do with my money? Well, I'm going to look to invest it, because I don't just want to sit on it. I want it to do something for me.
Yeah, but isn't there the GDP mindset. Numbers are sort of discredited for China, but let's just say, is there a consumer credit number which is actually reliable?
The only one is the electricity usage. Yeah. I believe.
And HSBC obviously puts out a purchase managers index number as well for China, because it's completely different from the one that's going on in China. So you can't just look at the economic fundamentals, unfortunately.
Right. Chris Judson, relationship manager for Seven Investment Management. I know you were a tad nervous before. I thought I was a first class.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. A great specialised subject. We look forward to having you back on Tip TV.
Thanks.
Apologies for the slight delay.
It wasn't me. Yeah.
I'm sure you pulled it somewhere. Right.